WHD2 Chippewa Falls, W228EP Eau Claire,
and streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.
CBS News Brief. President Biden's pushing Congress again to pass critical military aid for Ukraine after meeting with Vladimir Zelensky today at the White House.
Congress needs to pass a supplemental funding for Ukraine before they break the holiday recess, before they give Putin the greatest Christmas gift they could possibly give him.
Meantime, members of the House are deciding whether to impeach Mr. Biden over his business dealings. California Congressman Pete Aguilar.
It's painfully obvious that they are trying to hurt President Biden politically to help President Trump get reelected.
Hunter Biden is expected to testify tomorrow. Tomorrow, we'll also get an update from the Federal Reserve. CBS's Jill Schlesinger.
This report is likely to keep them on track for a pause. The Fed is highly aware that prices can re-accelerate and that price increases have really stuck around longer than they had expected.
They've been trying to tamp down inflation. CBS News Brief. I'm Monica Ricks.
Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. It appears the battle between the universities of Wisconsin and Republican state lawmakers over pay raises and diversity efforts will go on. System President Jay Rothman declined to comment after a closed session of the Board of Regents let out this afternoon. The Regents called a meeting today after rejecting what Speaker Robin Voss calls his last best offer to thaw pay raises for thousands of workers in exchange for scaling back diversity offices. Wisconsin Secretary of State is calling for a fake elector for Donald Trump to be removed from his position on the Wisconsin Elections Commission. Bob Spindell was one of 10 Republicans who signed certificates in 2020 that falsely claimed Trump had won Wisconsin. Secretary of State Sarah Godlewski says Spindell is not fit for the post. I'm Terry Bell, Civic Media News. Now here's what you need to know closer to home.
For WCFW News, I'm James Kelly. Two Florida men are now facing charges in both Eau Claire County and Chippewa County relating to a string of smash-and-grab thefts. Demetrius Major and Kawan Robinson of Fort Lauderdale, Florida, were arrested after a high-speed chase in early November, which ended when Eau Claire County deputies and a state trooper rammed their SUV as it traveled the wrong way on I-94 in Jackson County. They are accused of breaking into vehicles in the Chippewa Valley and stealing cash, credit and debit cards, and other items. Underage tobacco and nicotine sales are on the rise in Wisconsin, putting millions of dollars of federal funding at risk. A SINAR survey report found that the rate of selling tobacco to underage Wisconsin residents jumped from 5.5% in 2019 to 13.6% in 2023. Confusion between the state law and federal laws has contributed to the rise in underage people getting access to tobacco and nicotine products. Wisconsin could lose federal funding that goes to states with low rates of underage tobacco sales. And that's what you need to know. I'm James Kelly, WCFW News.
One in four Americans today are living with a disability. I'm one of them. People with disabilities are extremely talented, resilient problem solvers that have so much to offer. And we've got a trusted ally on our side, an organization we can rely on, Easter Seals. Easter Seals is leading the way to full equity, inclusion, and access to healthcare, employment, and education for people with disabilities, families, and communities. That's my Easter Seals. Make it yours.
Learn more and get involved at EasterSeals.com.
The Packers lose in New York. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Giants march down the field with just over a minute left to beat Green Bay 24-22. Packers head coach Matt LaFleur.
You get a Monday night game and a big stage, and ultimately you got to do it on game day.
Giants quarterback Tommy DeVito on keeping calm in just his fourth NFL start.
Of course, I think as a quarterback, you have to stay even keel through it all, you know, because when you're winning like we are now, everything is high, and when you lose, everything's low. So as a quarterback, you have to be able to stay even through it all. I take pride in that. Something that I've grown over, obviously, over time from when I was playing, from when I was five, throughout high school and college, just continuing to grow that part of my game.
NBA, the Bucks at home beat the Bulls in overtime, 133-129. Milwaukee's Damian Lillard with only 14 points, not one of his better nights.
You know when you get to that point where, like, shots you usually make aren't going in, you miss a one that you feel like is easy, you know, you miss a free throw and you're like, man, it's one of those nights.
That's the Bucks' Damian Lillard with sports. I'm Mike Clemens.
Hi, we're the Goo Goo Dolls. We're fortunate that our daughters have what they need to grow and learn. But that isn't the case for nearly 13 million kids in the U.S. that struggle with hunger.
Childhood hunger is a heartbreaking reality.
From Sevier Studios, I'm Corey Hartman with a look at your forecast. For today, sunshine, highs around 27. Partly cloudy tonight, mid-teens. On your Wednesday, we'll see sunshine and a high around 34. A little warmer Thursday, 44. And a chance of rain on Friday with a high of 43.
Right now, it's 28.
Hi, we're the Goo Goo Dolls. We're fortunate that our daughters have what they need to grow and learn. But that isn't the case for nearly 13 million kids in the U.S. that struggle with hunger.
Childhood hunger is a heartbreaking reality that Feeding America is working to change. Each year, the Feeding America network of food banks rescues billions of pounds of good food that would have gone to waste and provides it to families and children in need.
You can help kids in need in your community by visiting feedingamerica.org.
Brought to you by Feeding America and the Ad Council.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app. You're tapped in to the issues affecting the Valley and all of Wisconsin. Consider us the bartenders of friendly local talk. This is 93.5 The Tap.
Talking on all political subjects and taking on all callers, this is Matt Flynn Direct with your host, Matt Flynn.
Welcome back to the second hour of Matt Flynn Direct, coming to you statewide and live on Civic Media. Our lines are open, 844-967-2789. No subject is off limits and all points of view are welcome. And remember, you're not woke if you don't know history. And we're going right back to the front lines of history in the making. But before we do, I want to alert you to some breaking news that I just became aware of. Jack Smith, in the Tanya Chutkan case in Washington, D.C., has disclosed in a court filing that he has data that he has to disclose, for instance, what documents he's going to introduce and what witnesses. He's going to introduce documents and data on Trump's cell phone for January 6th. You remember in the January 6th committee, the presidential log was scrubbed. It didn't show that Trump made any calls from 11 in the morning to about 6 something at night. Very mysteriously, they disappeared. No calls. Apparently, they have been able to reconstruct data from Trump's cell phone, and they now can say who he called, for how long. And there's an individual that they don't identify, but they put him down as individual one. And they say that it will show calls to individual one, calls from individual one, and websites visited, and it's not clear to me from the disclosure today whether they're websites visited by Trump or by individual one or by both of them. But this is very, very important information, because if they are going back and forth talking about how basically to not accept the certifications and what that will mean as far as throwing it into Congress, there's plenty of other evidence, don't get me wrong, but that evidence will be absolutely essential and very, very important in this case. We're going to the lines. Joe Madison, my friend, thanks for calling. Joe, what's in your mind today?
Well, Matt, your expression that you used to start your show is, if you don't know history, you aren't woke if you don't know history. And I just have to tell you, I got a real wake-up call today. It is in reference to doing a little research after the discussion that you had about the issue of diversity, equity, and inclusion in the U.S. military, and you were speaking about people who had served, and you spoke of the Navajo Code Talkers. Well, here's an article for you, Matt, and anybody who wants to look this up can feel free to do it. It's a message from the National Archives, an article from the National Archives, November 12, 2019, and the title of the article is, and this just stopped me cold, "The War After the War, the American Indian Fight for the Vote After World War II. What? They were fighting, they were code talkers, and they didn't have the right to vote? Well, yeah, apparently not. So apparently what happened was, if you look back on the right of Native Americans to vote, Native Americans have fought in all wars from Revolutionary War on. It's just they weren't considered citizens. And it wasn't until 1919, which was after World War I, where the American Native Americans, you know, proved valorous during World War I, a law was passed that said that honorably discharged vets could vote. And in 1924, there was a law that said all Native Americans have citizenship. Well, guess what? Kinda. Not really. And local governments, state governments, set out to provide themselves with carve-outs for this. And they speak of the time in 1946 where two former U.S. Marine Corps Navajo boat talkers, Jimmy King and Howard Nez, walked into the Shiprock Public School in New Mexico to register to vote. In 1946, after they had served their country as Navajo code talkers, guess what? They were denied. And there was a slew of other veterans, Native American veterans, who were denied both in New Mexico and in Arizona and in Utah. And I mean, my jaw dropped when I heard this, but this started this fight. And apparently the way that they got around this in Arizona and New Mexico, there were two ways that the local governments went around. One was to say, well, gee, under our... quote, excludes, get this, idiots, insane persons, persons non-postmentis, and under guardianship. And so this attorney general says, well, gee, well, maybe we should just say the Navajos on the reservation are wards of the government, so they shouldn't be allowed to vote. And in New Mexico, they did a similar deal where they said American Indians on the reservations are not taxed, so they should not vote. So honest to God, Matt, I mean, it is stunning. So the guarantee of right to vote in these states did not occur and for these folks until the following numbers. Wasn't until 1957 that people, Native Americans from Utah, were assured of the right to vote, 1953 in New Mexico, and 1948 for the Navajo people and other tribes within Arizona. So basically the last Native American soldiers that had the right to vote, citizens who had the right to vote, it wasn't nailed down in Utah until 1957. These people had served. And here we have Tuberville and that bonehead Schmidt talking about diversity, equity, and justice, and that it's, we have a wonderful legacy, and there's no need for any help. Well, it seems to me that if code talkers after World War II were not even guaranteed the right to vote, we don't have a wonderful legacy. And a look at history would tell us that. And again, if anybody wants to look this up, the article is from the National Archives, and the stunning title for it again is this. I mean, it just made my jaw drop. It is "The War After the War, the American Indian Fight for the Right to Vote." There you go. You're not welcome to know history. And history,
that is a wonderful quote, wonderful fact, historical facts. When I say wonderful, they're disgusting, but it's wonderful that you brought them to our attention, because the code talkers, you know, the Marines went island to island, some of the toughest fighting in the war, and the Japanese were in caves, and they were in bunkers, and there were huge casualties. And then when they were there, The Japanese could listen in on our communications, but they couldn't understand Navajo. So these Navajo code talkers were hunkered down, and if they were overrun, they were killed or worse. And they're very, very brave. And some of the, frankly, the most patriotic veterans I've ever met, and considering how badly they've been treated over several hundred years, absolutely loyal to the United States. God bless them. Absolutely loyal to the United States. Disgusting to hear that level of detail about how, the Pete's sake, not even being able to vote. Thanks for calling. Bill of Oconomowoc, my friend. You're next. What's in your mind today, Bill?
Just a little different angle, but thank that lady again for her insight. That was awesome. That's what makes this show so wonderful. I'm off on a different tangent. I've been looking into all the border problems and the people coming across the border. Can Greg Abbott First of all, you know, according to Fox, this is the worst thing ever. They say about all the thugs and everybody else, but what do you see? Children, women carrying children, but they call them thugs. They're just too much, all that stuff. But they keep screaming, this crisis, this crisis, this crisis. Could Greg Abbott, does he have the ability as governor to declare a state emergency, enter get the National Guard going to do it? Plus, correct me if I'm wrong, Biden has offered him solutions, and he just doesn't even want to look at it. Your thoughts?
Yeah, right. And here's the thing, and people, you've read, and I'll give you just a couple of examples. Texas, they're enforcing a law that if you come into Texas illegally, that you'd be arrested and all this kind of thing. And so let's hold the phone on that one. The second is he's trying to interfere with passage across the Rio Grande by putting in buoys with razor wire and barbed wire and all that. And third, he is interfering with some government processing sites. Now, under the Privileges and Immunities Clause, he can't interfere with anybody in the United States traveling from state to state to state. If it's somebody who's, you know, committed a crime and there's a warrant out for him, he can arrest him. Yeah. But there's one of the fundamental adages in constitutional law is that federal trumps state. And that's a bad pun. I'm not talking about Donald Trump, but I'm talking like in Bridge, Trump. Federal trumps state. If there are two statutes that roughly deal with the same subject, just even roughly, the federal statute controls. The state statute is of no effect. It's of no effect. And immigration is governed by federal statute and federal administrative rules, which has the same effect. Even federal administrative rules trump state statutes. So when Trump, Abbott, say, quote, arrests, end quote, somebody, let's say they're from Venezuela or Guatemala, who are in southern Texas because they're there, quote, illegally. And the fact is that they've applied for asylum, and under both international law, but also under the present rules of the Immigration Department, and whether you agree with it or not, they get to hear that immigration request heard before they're thrown out. That trumps anything that Abbott does, anything that he does. Number two, when he's putting razor barrels and barbed wire barrels in the Rio Grande, that's a violation of treaties. It's a violation of treaties. And those treaties are federal law that trump state action. And number three, when he's interfering with any federal processing sites, that should be a criminal offense in and of itself. So, you know, they think they're the Lone Star State, you know, and they're in the United States, but they're really, you know, the great, they call themselves the sovereign state of Texas, baloney. They're one of 50 states and they will obey federal law. I'll tell you what, coming up, I see you in the lines. I will get you in order. Do not hang up. Do not hang up. Coming up, there's going to be a lot of news, a lot of weather between now and the half hour. And also, there will be Claudine Gay of Harvard is effectively backed by the Harvard Corporation. We'll talk about that. But I'll get you on the lines. Do not hang up.
Cut you down, tell them that God's gonna cut you down, tell them that God's gonna cut you down.
This is 93.5 The Tap.
Time out.
All right. Remember, we're a team that plays together. Listen, the winning will take care of itself. We just have to get everyone involved.
In interscholastic sports, we celebrate what makes every one of us unique. And in the pursuit of a common goal, everyone in the huddle, in the bleachers, and in the community comes together. This message presented by the WIAA and the Wisconsin Athletic Directors Association.
Up North News Radio with Pat Kreitlow.
Your soulmate is somebody who, when you get out of the McDonald's drive-thru, she'll do a pickle-ectomy and take the pickles out of my cheeseburger and put extra pickles on hers.
I'm flummoxed, I'm flabbergasted, I'm quacking upset right now.
You're going to defend pickles?
Except for bread and butter pickles, those things are the devil.
Oh, see, now if I were going to try any of them, it would...
Pat!
Okay. And this is why Greg and I are not married.
Weekday morning, 6 till 8. On your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. You're listening to 93.5 The Tap K.
I'm fixing a hole where the rain gets.
Welcome back to Matt and Direct. Our lines are open, 844-967-2789. I'm going right to the lines. I'm taking you in order. Do not hang up. Start with Cam of Nina, my friend. Thanks for calling, Cam. What's in your mind today?
Hey, I think this might be the first time I've ever called in to your show, but I have been listening to it for a few weeks now. So I was hoping that you might be able to explain something for me. I am in the younger age range for voting, and I try to pay attention as much as I can. Greg Abbott, terrible human being. I think he is a monster, but I do think that there are people that are genuinely bothered at the thought of illegal immigrants crossing the border. What is the actual solution then? Because I hear we need reform, but then there's no names attached to it. There needs to be an actionable item rather than just saying, this is what we need. Do you know what I mean? We need people to be able to point at and talk to and say, hey, do this for us. We are begging.
Right. That's an excellent, excellent question and call, Cam, and I hope you call a lot in the future. Here's my view. I can only give you my view, and that is this, that even though what I think that Abbott is doing is wrong, the truth is that this issue is paramount right now in our society. The towns on the border are being overwhelmed. El Paso, for instance, they're just people walking around the streets. They're being bused in New York and Chicago, and they're just walking around, and they're being put in hotels, and New York and Chicago are a lot colder than El Paso. But the congressmen along the border, even the Democratic congressman of Latino descent, say, what is going on? I think a couple of things are going on. One is, many, many people come in and they know now all they have to do is say the word asylum. Asylum is a term of art, and asylum means that you're being persecuted for your race or religion. That is not true with most of these people. It's not their race or religion. They're coming from countries that are entirely their race and religion. They're economic refugees, and I absolutely understand and sympathize with them, but you simply can't. There are probably 5 billion people in the world who would like to get into the United States, and we can't have everybody. We really can't. So something's going to have to be done, whether it is if they're going to seek asylum, they have to seek it in the first country they go through. They can't just cherry pick us. And if that happens, they have to be returned and then try to seek it somewhere else. Or B, they can't just be released into the general population here and then never show up again. And they're going to, you know, either you remain in Mexico, but then the cartels victimize them, rob from them. Part of it has to be a very stern message of two things. One is, we'll work with your host countries in trying to improve the economic circumstances of you so you can stay there. But number two, do not come up here because we can't have everybody. It needs a lot firmer, much firmer action. And right now what's happening is a deadlock in Congress. Neither side is willing to give in. It's going to require the people who are center right and center left, in other words, moderate, not the squad and not the Freedom Caucus, to solve this thing. But Cam, that is an issue that I can't give you a quick kind of glib answer over the phone, but it's a very, very important issue. And thank you for identifying. I appreciate it. Stephanie Madison, my friend, thanks for calling. Stephanie, what's in your mind today?
Hi, Matt. Love your bumpers, by the way. And I love the callers. One of the things I love about the show is that it's not an echo chamber. You're real thinking, very thinking, very intelligent, very thoughtful well, thinking thoughtful people. Anyway, I just wanted to mention that I really appreciated Joe's call. There's a historian, Matt DeMont, I believe. He's written about how Black people were treated, Black men were treated after they served this country back when like World War II. You know, they were attacked, they wore their uniforms, they were warned not to do that because they were, I mean, they were beaten, they were attacked, they were killed. One of the most horrifying things, I'll make this last point and I'm going to just hang up. A friend of ours who was definitely a Fox TV conservative, but a very dear friend, asked us about when Trump was in office. And what I brought up, which was so just utterly despicable, appalling, was how the people coming in from other countries were treated. And the families were separated. Women, their nursing babies were taken away. It was just the most horrific, horrific act. Just so, so destructive. So with that, Matt, keep it up and keep on keeping on, everybody. You're awesome. I'm going to hang up.
Thanks a lot, Stephanie. Yeah, let me go back to that. That was under Trump. And Trump... and Stephen Miller, I think, is the guy that advised him on it. But he said one way to deter them is take their kids away. Well, Russia does that to Ukraine, you know. I mean, they kidnapped 20,000 kids, 20,000, over 20,000. If you've ever been to a Bucks game at the Fiserv Arena here in Milwaukee, that seats about 21,000 people. So imagine that was all kids. And Russia snatched them. They said they were going to beat the Ukrainian out of them. And they made them sing Russian songs and told them that their host country was bad and their parents are bad. It was disgusting. Well, at the border, we didn't do it quite that way, but people would come in, they'd take away their kids. And this is the saddest thing of all. Not every kid to this day has been returned to his parents. They may not have found him. It's beyond belief. That was Trump. And one of the unbelievable things at one of his rallies, I alluded to this in a show a couple of weeks ago, in one of his rallies, he got up and he said, talk about lying. You think George Santos lies? Here's what Trump said in it. One, he said, we built the wall. And we built it at Mexico's expense because they sent Mexican military to build it. That's totally false. No Mexican military or anybody else came to build anything. And there are part walls, but they were built by Democrats as well as Republicans. I mean, you have to have a wall, you know, in Tijuana or leading up to San Diego or people. So there are some walls. Nobody disputes that. What they dispute is we don't need a 1,700-mile wall. That's the dispute. Number two, and this really killed me. Here's what Trump said at this rally. He said, this business of taking kids away from parents, it was Obama who did it. That's what he said. That's false. Obama did not do it. Trump did it. But, you know, he says these things. It's like the Nazi big lie. You know, the idea that when Hitler said that Poland invaded Germany, and that's why he invaded Poland, it was false. But a lot of Germans said, oh, Poland invaded us. If you're a big guy, a big man in the eyes of the public, and you give a monstrous lie, a lot of people will repeat it. And if they repeat it, a lot of people will believe it. Trump said that Mexican soldiers built the wall. There is no wall. There's already a wall, but that was Democratic and Republican. There's not a 1,700-mile wall. No Mexican soldiers did it. And it was Trump who took the kids away. Coming up, we're going to get to the Ukrainian issue because Zelensky is in Washington, and this is of the utmost importance. Plus a lot of news and weather.
Where it will go, where it will go. Fixing a hole where the rain gets in. Stops my mind.
Tap into what Chippewa Falls, Eau Claire, and the Chippewa Valley is talking about today. This is 93.5 The Tap. Online at thetap.fm.
Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. Wisconsin's Secretary of State is calling for a fake elector for Donald Trump to be removed from his position on the Wisconsin Elections Commission. Bob Spindell was one of 10 Republicans who signed certificates in 2020 that falsely claimed Trump had won Wisconsin. Secretary of State Sarah Godlewski says Spindell is not fit for the post. Spindell has not responded to reporters asking for comment. The University of Wisconsin Board of Regents meets in a special session today to talk about possibly accepting the funding deal they rejected Saturday. Republican leaders of the state legislature say that was their best and final offer. Among other things, the offer would repurpose about 40 diversity employees in exchange for pay raises for 35,000 UW workers. I'm Terry Bell, Civic Media News. Now here's what you need to know closer to home.
For WCFW News, I'm James Kelly. Two Florida men are now facing charges in both Eau Claire County and Chippewa County relating to a string of smash-and-grab thefts. Demetrius Major and Kawan Robinson of Fort Lauderdale, Florida, were arrested after a high-speed chase in early November, which ended when Eau Claire County deputies and a state trooper rammed their SUV as it traveled the wrong way on I-94 in Jackson County. They are accused of breaking into vehicles in the Chippewa Valley and stealing cash, credit and debit cards, and other items. Eau Claire's American Legion Post 53 is calling for the public's help to give a statue honoring veterans a permanent home. According to a WQOW report, the statue outside the organization on Water Street was part of the Eau Claire Sculpture Tour in 2022, and the Legion is hoping to raise $50,000 to keep it. The Legion has reportedly raised about $16,000 since fundraising started over the summer, and the artist of the statue has agreed to extend the fundraising deadline for another year to give them enough time. And that's what you need to know. I'm James Kelly, WCFW News.
I was proud to be a soldier.
I told the truth and got kicked out.
And so I thought to myself, I'm taking this rule down.
If you're an LGBTQ plus veteran, your memories are important too. Share your story with the Library of Congress Veterans History Project, where firsthand accounts from U.S. military veterans are preserved and made accessible for researchers and future generations. Visit loc.gov/vets to submit your stories, photographs, and documents today.
The Packers lose in New York. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Giants march down the field with just over a minute left to beat Green Bay 24-22. Packers head coach Matt LaFleur.
You get a Monday night game and a big stage, and ultimately you got to do it on game day.
Giants quarterback Tommy DeVito on keeping calm in just his fourth NFL start.
Of course, I think as a quarterback, you have to stay even keel through it all, you know, because when you're winning like we are now, everything is high, and when you lose, everything's low. So as a quarterback, you have to be able to stay even through it all. I take pride in that. Something that I've grown over, obviously, over time from when I was playing, from when I was five, throughout high school and college, just continuing to grow that part of my game.
NBA, the Bucks at home beat the Bulls in overtime, 133-129. Milwaukee's Damian Lillard, with only 14 points, not one of his better nights.
You know when you get to that point where, like, shots you usually make aren't going in, you miss a one that you feel like is easy, you know, you miss a free throw, and you're like, man, it's one of those nights.
That's the Bucks' Damian Lillard. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
Weather brought to you by Bug Tussle. Bug Tussle, we're out there because you're out there.
Bug Tussle, we're out there.
From Severe Studios, I'm Corey Hartman with a look at your forecast. For today, sunshine, highs around 27. Partly cloudy tonight, mid-teens. On your Wednesday, we'll see sunshine and a high around 34. A little warmer Thursday, 44. And a chance of rain on Friday with a high of 43.
Right now, it's 28.
Looking for a reliable, fast, and unlimited internet provider? Look no further than Bug Tussle. Whether you're streaming, gaming, working, or learning, Bug Tussle has you covered. Bug Tussle has continued to serve the rural communities of Wisconsin for over 20 years by providing the most reliable, high-speed internet and excellent local customer service. Call 877-227-0924 or visit bugtussle.com to get started. Bug Tussle, we're out there because you're out there.
If anyone knows what's on tap, it's the Chippewa Valley. We're talking about everything that's on tap in your world today. 93.5, The Tap.
Back to Matt Flynn, Director. Lines are open, 844-967-2789. Well, today, President Zelensky of Ukraine is in Washington, D.C. He met in a private meeting with the U.S. senators earlier today, earlier this morning. He was scheduled to have a meeting with Mike Johnson, the speaker. He was not invited to meet or to speak to the entire caucus, either Republican, Democratic, or both. In other words, the entire House, which he had been a year ago, because of machinations on the part of the MAGA caucus, the Freedom Caucus. And here's what he did. He put out a statement at the beginning, and right now he's meeting with Joe Biden. As we went on the air about an hour ago, he was supposed to be meeting with Joe Biden. Joe Biden has been terrific. Schumer has been terrific. Democrats in the House have been terrific. And even Moscow Mitch has been terrific, but has tied border issues to the aid. But here's what Zelensky said. It's a matter of, quote, it's a matter of life or death. Time is of the essence. Now, let me go through what's in the bill that Biden has proposed. There's been a lot of misconceptions, and it's important to know the facts. Biden has proposed a $110.5 billion package for Ukraine and others. A, Ukraine, primarily for missile defense systems. The Russians are launching a cruise missile attack on their energy grid and on civilian infrastructure because the cold weather is coming. Putin is a genocidal sadist. Russia has devoted a war economy to crushing a nation, a brave nation of 45 million people. Russia has 145 million people, three times Ukraine. Ukraine's the size of Texas. Russia has 11 time zones, the largest landmass country in the world, with only 145 million people. A lot of them leave. They're trying to leave. They try to sneak out into Finland or wherever they can get, because they are run by a genocidal sadist. Some of the $110 billion would go to Israel, primarily for missile defense systems. Hamas and Hezbollah, Islamic Jihad in general, keep launching missiles into civilian areas. They have to be shot down. They need those missile defense systems. Some of this money would go to Gaza, humanitarian aid in Gaza to Palestinians and on the West Bank. Some of it would replenish U.S. weapons systems that we've already sent to Israel and Ukraine. So if the money isn't voted on, we are stripped down ourselves. Some of it is going in the Indo-Pacific regional partners, Taiwan, Japan, Philippines, Vietnam, Australia, South Korea. So now we're just giving them money, but making sure that their defense systems are up to snuff to stop the Chinese. Some of the money is going to stop illegal fentanyl and to dismantle international drug cartels. Some of it is for customs and border protection on our southern border and enhanced border security. For 5% of our defense budget, this is roughly what it's going to be ultimately for the year, Ukraine is basically doing our work. They are weakening Russia. Something like 350,000 Russians have been killed by Ukraine. Now, it's true that a lot of them are from their prisons and mental asylums. That's how cruel they are. And in rural areas, they don't draft university kids. They emptied out their prisons, their insane asylums, the homeless, and rural kids. That's what they did. Moscow is chortling about Republicans who are trying to block this package. They say Ukraine is in agony. It's difficult to imagine a bigger humiliation. And then one of their papers, which are all controlled by the state, said, quote, well done, Republicans. They're standing firm. They're standing firm. And by the way, any weapon system or any weapon we send comes from our stockpiles here and is somewhat outdated And our own workers, usually in Republican states, believe it or not, are building the weapons and the systems that replace them. All of this money has to be spent in the United States, all of it. In addition to that, Hungarian allies of Putin, like Viktor Orban, his allies, not Orban himself, but his allies are in Washington right now for a two-day conference by the Heritage Foundation about the war and about Ukraine. And Orban is using that to try to convince other European nations not to support Ukraine. What I don't understand about Orban is, if you've ever been to Hungary, I've been there several times, you come down the Danube to Budapest. Buda and Pest are two different cities. They call it Budapest because they're considered together. But if you get off the boat, Buda is to the west, and it's an ancient city with a lot of historical monuments and no nightlife, no action. The business, the nightlife, the action, the restaurants are all in Pest. But you go on a tour, and I did, there's a building they still kept up, which is the Russian torture building in their 1956 invasion, when they invaded Hungary. And they rounded up professors, intellectuals, government people, and tortured them in this building. The Roman Catholic cardinal from Budapest barely escaped. You know how he escaped? He went to the American embassy, and we let him stay there for like 10 years. Otherwise, they would have gotten him, the Ruskies. How Orban, don't they have an historic memory over there? I mean, what is it about siding up to Putin when they were tortured and invaded in 1956? Don't they read history? I mean, do they know any history? I assume they know some history. Michael McFaul, former U.S. ambassador to Russia, said this, quote, "Delaying a vote, as the Republicans are doing, on aid to Ukraine, Israel, and Taiwan will do great damage to America's reputation as a reliable global leader in a very dangerous world. Delay is a gift to Putin, Xi, and the mullahs of Iran. The stakes are very high." By the way, he doesn't have to tell me that. Alexei Navalny, by the way, just disappeared, Putin's biggest enemy. They don't know where he is. Tried poison him. I have a feeling they killed him. A genocidal sadist, Putin. Now, here's the thing about Russia. I've been to Moscow and St. Petersburg. Some very fine people. I met them. They have had a normal government once in 1,000 years, and that was for 10 years in the 1990s, and that was when Gorbachev and Yeltsin were in charge, and even then organized crime took it over. They were under the czars for most of the 1,000 years. They were like slaves. They were serfs, so it's not as bad as a slave, but it's the next best thing, next worst thing. Then First World War came along. They killed the last czar. Lenin came in. He died. Stalin murdered more than 20 million people. He was a vicious, sadist murderer. Then a series of communists, then Yeltsin for a little bit, and now a vicious genocidal sadist who is genociding Ukraine. We must support them. We're going to go to the lines, and I'm going to pick this up again. Dick Madison, my friend, thanks for calling. Dick, what's in your mind today?
To something you said earlier, and this is just proof positive that these mega people that go and listen to Trump are nothing more than just mindless zombies. You said he told them that the Mexican military built the wall, correct?
Right.
And this is,
yes.
Yeah. Okay. On its face value, then, wouldn't you ask the question, if you had any critical thinking, why are we even talking about the border problem? There is none. Because you said, or are you admitting that the wall doesn't work, sir? Which is it?
They cheer whatever he says. And then he'll say, and Biden won't build the wall. And they'll cheer that. They're not, no, they're not thinking. He's a fascist leader. He said that that Obama separated the kids from the mothers. That's not true. He did it. He said that the Mexican military built the wall and it was at their expense. That's false. There is a wall, by the way. Remember, our border is something like 2,000 miles. This guy wanted to build 1,700 miles. A lot of people felt it isn't needed in a lot of places. You have to have a wall, certainly in Tijuana. You know, otherwise you have cities that are connected. Guy could walk down the street and walk into our country. Of course, there are some walls, and they were built by Democrats and Republicans going back a long time. That's not the issue. The issue is how much more wall you need. Going back to the lines, Gina McClare, my friend. Thanks for calling, Gene. What's your mind today?
Hi, Matt. Thank you so much. Great show as usual. Fantastic callers and really significant issues that we're facing in our country. And I think that we all need to start looking at ourselves and thinking of what is important for our country and ourselves. What kind of people do we want to be? Do we want to be, you know, honest, have integrity, care about our neighbors, or do we want to follow a maniac and have chaos and hatefulness in our lives? And it's really sad because, you know, Matt, this happened in each of our states, you know, the chaos, the breakup. You know, it even happened in churches where evangelicals were saying, we don't want women as pastors and we don't want gays and running our churches and different things like that. It started splitting people up in their churches, in their communities. Then I watched Steve Bannon going over during Brexit and seeing all those other countries that have chaos, conflict, hate. And we need to really, all of us, every person in our country need to think, what's important here? Do we want to follow a person that lies and cheats and promotes hatred, who lies to the people that says, I'm going to give you a health plan, when the Congress was on the outside with their celebrating with beer and everything because they got rid of Obamacare, and thank God for John McCain. People need to wake up because this impacts everybody in their lives, their health, their education, their children, the future of America. People need to take this seriously. Thank you so much for all you do. Sure appreciate it, Matt. Have a good evening. Thank you.
Yeah, thank you very much, Gene. I really appreciate your calls as always. Yeah, and let's just talk about this. Fascism creeps in on little cat's feet. Now, I said that a couple of years ago, the first time when I had the morning show, but it was little cat's feet. It's not little cat's feet anymore. It's elephants' hooves, if they have hooves, whatever feet elephants have. They have very big ones. I mean, there's a bakery called Elephant Ears, which are quite tasty. Quite tasty. Okay, we're going to go to the lines. Karina, you're on the line. What's on your mind today, Karina?
Hi, Matt. Thank you so much for your show. It's always so much information. I think you need to, anyone have to listen to your show over and over again to actually get all 100%. But my question is, all these people, like you were talking about, the ones who are with the pregnant women, this is a sadism, and those people are just actually having a hard-on if they have a control over one single person or issue. But my question is, they have a criminal cases, they have indictments, they have all this, and for some ununderstandable fact, they are still in the government position blaming government, saying that the government have to remove and reduce the power, yet they're using it against the women. How does
No, thank you very much, Karina. I've got to go. Thank you so much. Call back again, of course. Love to have you. Coming up is going to be Rudy Giuliani defames people a second time. Do not hang up. I'll get back to you right after the break.
I walk the line because you're
93.5 The Tap.
If you love them enough to listen to them practice the same song on tuba,
please be done.
Over and over.
over and over and over and over, then surely you'll check NHTSA.gov/the right seat to make sure they're correctly buckled in the back seat.
Sounds good, honey.
Check today at NHTSA.gov/the right seat. Brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
If I could be you.
And you could be me.
For just 1 hour.
If you could find a way.
To get inside.
Each other's mind.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
We've all felt left out. And for some, that feeling lasts more than a moment. We can change that. Learn how at belongingbeginswithus.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
This is 93.5 The Tap.
Don't let me down.
Welcome back to Matt from the Director. Our lines are open, 844-967-278. Now go right to the lines. Adrian of Madison. Thanks for calling, Adrian. What's on your mind today?
Hey, Matt. Now, it seems to me from what I can observe that the Republicans in Congress are pretty much united on defending Israel's right to defend itself. But how come they don't have any regard for Ukraine's right to defend itself?
Right. That's the million-dollar question. And when I was talking about Ukraine before, and then we got some calls, here's the deal. We stand with Israel. We stand with Ukraine. Ukraine is subject to a genocidal attack by a sadist. And the people in his government, his spokespeople, and his allies are sadists and thieves. Ukraine is a European country. It's a European country. And this is the first time a European country has been invaded in a land grab since 1945. Right now, what's happening is the Republican Party is linking it to reforms in immigration at the southern border. Joe Biden has said he's open to those reforms. One possibility, and Cam called before and had a similar question, like, what can we do? One possibility. Now, this is proposed by Lindsey Graham is the kind of guy who will agree with you if he thinks you're on the way up or in power, and he'll knife you if you're on the way down. I don't trust him. But he made an observation. He said that Chris Murphy of Connecticut, who's the senator leading the negotiation for the Democrats, right now is in a stalemate. He said he thinks Joe Biden should get involved. I have no objection to that. Joe Biden is the best. Joe Biden went in the Senate in 1972, for Pete's sake. Joe Biden is the guy that pushed through hard and soft infrastructure when he didn't really have a working majority. He's the best. I think it's going to take some compromise on the border. And that isn't all bad, because we cannot continue to have people just come across the border and sleep on the streets in El Paso. We don't have places to put everybody. They're getting bussed by the governors like Abbott to New York and Chicago and roaming around. You can't have that. There has got to be an enforceable border. And yes, there are some limited number of times where there are legitimate asylum claims, but these are typically economic refugees. And frankly, as the climate crisis gets worse, there's going to be more of them all around the world. I don't blame them. My own ancestors came over in the mid-19th century from Ireland because there was no food and no opportunity. I get it. I totally get it. But the question is, at what point do you use different ways to handle it? And one point would be, and Biden has started to do this, is to work with those countries in terms of employment options, even government employment options, housing and that kind of thing, some grants. And you may say, well, why should we do that? I'll tell you why we should do that. Because otherwise, you're going to have them in El Paso and New York. That's why we should do that. These kinds of ways to do it. But it may come to the point where there's what's called the transit ban. And some people say, well, some of that was under Trump. Yeah, but some of it was under a lot of other countries too. And Trump's things like separate kids, we're not going to put up with. But trying to control the number of people's coming in, and presently they're just sort of processed, given a ticket and say, come back, and you never hear from again. That's got to stop, or it's going to be a very difficult issue in the upcoming election. I think there is a way, a humane way to handle this, and it may be that Joe Biden has to get involved. But Adrian, that's a very, very good point. And it's not realistic to think that you or I are going to solve this, or Cam's going to solve it, or anybody else is going to solve it in one show. But I think that the Democratic Party has shown an awareness through Biden and through other Democrats, an awareness that this is an issue that has to be addressed. You can't just say, hey, the border's open, come in. Say you want to sign them. Okay, here's a pink slip. Come back in a year and a half and you disappear. You cannot continue to do that. And that should not be hard to agree on and have Ukraine aid pass. Ukraine aid is essential. The Republicans linking it to anything, suggesting that maybe Putin should just go in, that's treasonous. They are our friends. They are allies. We support them. One quick final note. Rudy Giuliani is pulling a Donald Trump. Why do I say that? Donald Trump, remember, was told by a jury he committed sexual abuse of E. Jean Carroll and paid $5 million. And then he went on TV and said that it was a lie. He didn't sexually abuse her. And now he's being tried again. And they're going to trial January 16 for another $5 million. She's going to hit the bank again. Giuliani today just did the same thing with Shea Moss and Ruby Freeman. They're asking $48 million. He ruined their lives. He said that they had falsified documents and ballots. Shea Moss was one of the most trusted employees of that election commission. She was put in charge of absentee ballots. And there was video of her. She's a black woman, and she's putting some in from a tray into a bin of absentee ballots. And Giuliani said that she and her mother had falsified them. That was false. Now the clown Giuliani goes out on the sidewalk after today's trial, and they ask him about it, and he said, I don't regret saying it. They were engaged in changing votes. He said it again. What, he never heard of E. Jean Carroll? He never heard of what happened to Trump? And the judge said that could support another defamation action. Are these guys, what, are they touched in the head? Is there something wrong with these guys? Well, yeah, there is something wrong with these guys. But that's what he did. That's what he did. And his lawyer didn't know what to say. His lawyer had gone before the judge today and was contrite, trying to make it sound like, well, Giuliani's an older guy, made a mistake. Well, he didn't make a mistake. He just said it again. The guy is an absolute numbskull. Coming up, more news and weather and a great other show, Devil's Advocate with Dom and Crew. Matt Flynn Direct will be back same time, same place tomorrow. Signing off for today.
Lenny Lodge and Carson Park, the entire Chippewa Valley is tapping in to the station talking about your hometown
and all of Wisconsin.
93.5, The Tap. This is your hometown radio, refreshed, keeping you informed, entertained, and connected locally across the Civic Media Network.
Think you'd like working with us at Civic Media? We're having fun and moving fast to preserve hometown radio across Wisconsin. If you have the right skills to join our team, let's talk. Civic Media is a proud equal opportunity employer committed to diversity and inclusion, along with the growth and development of all current and future employees. If you're interested or are part of an organization who wants to know more, go to our website, civicmedia.us, and click on the Careers tab.
You're listening to 93.5 The Tap, WCFW HD2 Chippewa Falls, W228EP Eau Claire, and streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.
CBS News